believed and agreed, said amen.
Amen.
He's my rock. He's my rock. He's a wheel in the middle of a. I know it never he's such a jewel that I have. Church, sing hallelujah, hallelujah. Church, sing hallelujah, hallelujah. Church, sing hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, I love to praise His holy name. And because we don't know each other's story, nor the things we've been through, and because we can't feel each other's pain, and all that we had to go through just to get here this morning, God is good. And I greet you in divine love this morning. You know, when Brother Gibbs talked about pulling on the heart, it is the matter of the heart. And that's why I could say what I said earlier, that in a world of give and take, amen, there are only few willing to give what it takes. Yeah. But your preacher, some of your elders, Keith James and all Kevin Hudson and all, I mean, they have really, really given me an opportunity to see the matter of the heart. Because someone always also said, the problem of the human race is the problem of the human heart. Y'all ought to hear what I'm saying.
Yeah.
And if we can just change the heart and get the heart right, we can touch the world. We can truly touch the world. Let's pray, let us pray, let us pray. Let us go to God in prayer. Oh, Father God, how excellent is thy name, and how great thou art upon the earth. Father, we come thanking you for just another day, Father. I want to thank you for your goodness, for your mercy, for another opportunity, Father, to stand before your people. Forgive us now thy sins and fill us up with your spirit.
Amen.
Fix us now for worship and feed us till we want no more. Have your way today, Father. Do what you want done today, Father. Say what you want said today in us, with us, and through us. We give you all the glory and the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. You fight on and on. You fight on and on. You fight on and on. You fight on. Just put your hands in God's hand, and you fight on and on, you fight on. Well, if your brother has treated you, take it to your brother and God alone. And you said, brother, you treated me wrong. long, and you fight on and on, you fight on. Well, if your sister, come on, y'all, treated you wrong, you take it to your sister and God alone. And you said, sister, you treated me wrong. And you fight on and on, you fight on. Will you fight on? You fight on. And you fight on and on, and you fight on. Just put your hands in God's hand, and you fight on and on, you fight on. Turn with me to John 14. What a marvelous passage. John 14. And let's just dwell for a while. Verse 1. Is that all right? John 14 and 1. Jesus, having announcing his departure for about 6 months to his disciples, and now the dawning of that time is coming. And Jesus began to lay out what he expected of them after his leaving, and his love will always serve as a distinguishing characteristic. Jesus loved. Oh, yes, he loved. He gave. But notice a very familiar passage of scripture that we hear every time, most of the time, we lose loved ones in service or celebration. We use this scripture here. And can I just dwell there? Can I just put a dime in the parking meter and just dwell there at verse 1. You know, somebody said, Brother Gibbs, you don't have to be long to be strong. And so I appreciate, you know, like, I've learned a lot. I've watched him a lot. And I just appreciate him being a mentor to me. Now, he didn't really know he's my mentor. Close up, he didn't know that. But he know it now, because I love him. He has a heart, y'all. It is a heart of the matter. I was just telling my wife, you know, she's having some difficult times. I moved to California because they couldn't help her no more. She needed a third open heart surgery. And it's coming from dialysis. She's been on dialysis now for 27 years. And what happened in Louisiana was interesting because they thought it was actually fluid that took place, her being on dialysis, but it was really my son. Yes, she had him on dialysis, and they didn't know how to dialyze her. And so they busted her heart valve. Y'all ought to hear this. But I told her something, Brother Gibbs, because now she needed the third open heart surgery. I came here because, you know, she had a transplant here, her first kidney transplant. I lived in Dallas for 9 years. And all of these years passed, and Brother Gibbs, right now she have ran out of room for her graft to dialyze. And they tried just in March to put one up on top, but it didn't work. And so she don't really want it in her legs, and because she just said she just had enough poking. And I was telling her, Brother Gibbs, I said, you know, God is eternal. You know, God knows what's going on with you. I mean, all of these years, you know, we, you know, she went through dialysis, had the third open heart surgery, had to take her to California because Baylor's here. They said they didn't want to take a risk just with scar tissue, going, cutting the chest open and going around the scar tissue was going to be too dangerous. Went to St. Luke in Houston, went to Colorado, brother. They told me they could do it, but once I got there, Sister Gibb, they declined on me. So she had some treatments done prior to that in 08 in New Orleans, and it's a sickness called calciphylaxis, deficiency of calcium when you're on dialysis. And look what happened. You know, it finds a vulnerable spot on your body. And first is a bruise mark. But when the bruise mark turns into a water blister, it's actually eating through your tissue. It's a tissue-eating disease. Calcium, low deficiency. She had holes in her body where you could actually drop an egg in there. And the doctor was so mad because she stayed at Ashna 8 months, they told me they knew what they was doing in New Orleans. And I put them on the phone with a few doctors who did her second open heart surgery because Lafayette, Louisiana had busted her valve. They was responsible, thinking it's fluid. But there was my boy growing. They didn't want to believe she was, how could she be pregnant and she on dialysis? But didn't I say God is eternal? You know, I mean, fate defied all the facts. Facts said ain't no way she could be pregnant. But fate defied that. And it helped me. It helped me in this journey of faith to keep on going. But let me just drop something on you. No room for a graft to dialyze. She don't want to go in her legs. I told her, I said, baby, I said, you and your son, y'all both left-handed, you're close. I said, we never even checked his. He want to help you. He want to help his mother. He's 22 years old now. He just watched her suffer from the very day he was born. He watched her back and forth in the hospital. And so here it is, Brother Gibbs. He's the perfect match. Y'all ought to help me with this. God is eternal. God knew what she was going to. He put the seed in her. Knew what she was going to need before she ever knew she was going to ever need it. So I'm here to say that, you know, God is good. If we just keep believing in God. And here is a very, very familiar passage where Jesus says, let not your heart be troubled. He said, ye believe in God, believe also in me. These are the words of Jesus to his disciples. These are unusual words because you have to understand where he is. He's in the upper room. He's on his way to the Garden of Gethsemane. He's on his way to the cross. The hour has come. This is the hour. And he told them that he's going to leave them. He's going away. He'd been saying it for 6 months. But here is the heart that is revealed. Peter's bewilderment. You know, when you ask yourself, what prompted Jesus to tell his disciples, let not your heart be troubled? What prompted him evidently? There was something going on that prompted him to say, don't let your heart be troubled. It's like so much that we're witnessing today. There's so much going on that really troubles our heart. Y'all remember how policemen was just shooting down our young men just to see men's killed for no reason at all. I mean, reaching down for his license. Y'all remember that? I mean, shot down at the corner selling CDs in Baton Rouge. Y'all remember them stories? But then the table turned. 5 cops, y'all remember that? Shot down right here in Dallas. But a young man to see protests everywhere, one atrocity after the other, to see our nation in upheaval, to see terrorist attack everywhere, suicide bombers. Y'all remember that? It's happening now. Tell me, my brothers and sisters, if it ain't one thing, it's honestly another. And yet these are words of Jesus to his disciples that are relevant to us today. I mean, here these words were spoken thousands of years, and yet they have relevance to us today. And his word to his disciples and his word to us is to let not your heart be troubled. Y'all still there with me? Believe in God, believe also in me. You know, I want to say, as we look at this text, Greenville, I want us to go back. Can we just do that? Go back from John 14 and let's find out what prompted him to say what he said. And when you look at the last verses of John 13, because what's going on in John 13, Jesus has said to his disciples that one of you will betray me. You remember Peter? You remember Judas? And he's not unaware of Judas' betrayal. Judas is going to betray him. But then Jesus shocks them again, Brother Gibbs, by saying, one of you will deny me. Y'all remember? I want us to just take a look at John 13, Brother Gibbs, starting at verse 36, where Peter said unto Jesus that, you know, hey, Jesus told Peter, first of all, I'm going away. Told him all that about 6 months prior to that. But yet now all of what he said is starting to sink in. The Bible says what, Brother Gibbs? Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, whither goest thou?
Jesus answered him,
See, Jesus saying, look, where I'm going, you cannot follow me now. But what? But afterward, you can go with me. He said, I'm leaving. But you know, Peter said unto him, you know, why can't I follow you now? And Peter says, I'm going to lay down my life for you. Yes, for your sake, I'm going to lay down my life. Jesus answered, verse 38. Will you really do that, Peter? Y'all ought to see this here. Here is Peter bewilderness. He's bewildered. Go ahead, Brother Gibbs. Notice, he says, listen, verily, verily, I say unto thee. And verily, verily means truly, truly. It means I'm not lying. I'm not joking. Peter, be careful. What he says? Jesus. The cock shall not crow until thou has denied me three times. Jesus says to him. Now, Greenville, this is some shocking news here. Yeah, it's shocking news because you would think that you got it all together. Y'all ought to help me preach this here. I'm not talking about somebody else. I'm talking about you. How many times you found yourself in a spot where you say you would never do, and you find yourself doing it? Hello? You find yourself eating it, swallowing it? Well, here is the case with Peter here, the impetuous spokesman for the group. You remember that inner circle Jesus had, Peter, James, and John? Here it is. Jesus said, I'm going away. And he says, okay. Peter said, okay. Well, let me go with you. Why can't I go with you now? Y'all see him? And Jesus says to him, the rooster before it crowed three times. He said, Peter, you got to deny me. You're talking like you got to deny me. Now, can I ask you, Would that trouble you? I mean, if Jesus were to tell you it's not somebody else, but it's you who said you'll die for me, you will be the one to deny me. That's kind of troubling, y'all. Yeah, isn't it? Well, that's the context. That's why I said all of this. Had Brother Gibbs to read from chapter 13. This is the context of the passage. The context of the passage, it reveals that he has just told Peter, you're going to deny me. Not once, not twice, but three times. And frankly speaking, my brothers and sisters, that kind of shook me up. Yeah, yeah. That Jesus knows me better than I know myself. See, you might would have felt if he said one time, slip. You know how we do that? I slip. Two times, okay. But three times, that's intentional. You reached to the point where you, and guess what? You're not trying not to. You know what you're doing. So now, I know that's enough to shake you up because it shook me up. Because this is, notice he's the spokesman. Peter is the man now, y'all. Remember, Christ gave him the keys. Yeah, And so when you think about it, Jesus had just cut him down. And you know what Jesus told him? He said, the best of you is going to deny me. Yes, pressure is going to be put on you so bad that you're going to deny me three times. Y'all still with me? Can I ask you this here? Do you think Peter felt bad? Come on, y'all can talk back to me. Do you think he was troubled? Of course. But listen to what Jesus says. I want you to see that. The very next verse, Brother Gibbs, is chapter 14. Listen what Jesus says in the very next verse.
Let not your heart be troubled.
Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Listen. He says, you're going to mess up. That's what he's saying. He said, you're going to deny me, not once, not twice, but three times. But what I want you to know is these words. Let not your heart be troubled. Now, that's a very interesting command that Jesus is giving to his disciples. Because all of them must have felt bad. Y'all still there? But it's good news, Greenville. It's good news for us. Because it says to us that even though we mess up, Jesus got a plan to clean us up. Even though life is messed up, he has a plan to clean it up. Y'all still there with me? And when you look at even what's happening today, your president, in all of his foolishness, it looks like things are out of control. But the good news is God is still in control. Let not your heart be troubled. You know, look at that word trouble. Let's look at that word trouble here. Terasso in the Greek. It means to agitate, to stir. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And when water is stirred, you can't see. Then got muddy. And I told him the story this morning, as I'll tell you. I born in Nashville up until the age of 11, moved to Louisiana, to the South, the dirty South, yeah. And you know over there when it rained? See, in the South, we have ditches. Y'all see what I'm saying? And when it would rain, the water would settle, fill up these ditches, but it was clear. And I would see the little crawdads and sometimes the eels and young boy, you know, and see the moccasins sometimes. And as a kid, I would go get a stick. And I see them all just playing together, and I go get a stick, and I muddy the water. Yeah, yeah, I would muddy the water. See, that's the idea here of trouble. It's to stir. He's suggesting, he says, your heart, and the heart is cardia, carries the idea of three things. And you know those three things, your intellect, your emotion, and your will. And he's saying, listen, don't let life circumstances mess you up where you can't think right. Hello? See, one of the things that happens, and you all know it's proven, is that when you are disturbed, it's been proven that you can't think right. Yeah, you can't see right. The water been muddied. Hello? And there is no rationale. And you can't even understand right. But I want you to see something here. Because your mind being stirred up, the whole idea here, that's what trouble is about. When your mind is being stirred. Now, one of the passages I was saying earlier this morning is that has that same word, trouble. It goes back when Jesus was born. You remember in Matthew 2 and 3, when the Bible says, you know, Herod, when Herod was troubled, all of Jerusalem was troubled with him. That one man that is troubled, troubled all of Jerusalem. Can y'all see that? One troubled person in your house can trouble the whole house. Wait a minute, Roy. One troubled person on your job can trouble the whole job. What are you saying, Roy? I'm simply saying this is why he says to his disciples. Now keep in mind, he's planning on turning the job over to them. He's leaving. But he says, I can't leave you in this shape, troubled. I can't leave you like that. For you to carry out my kingdom, and you're troubled? No, sir, no, ma'am. See, I think, my brothers and sisters, he is saying to us today that when you look at all that is going on in our world right now, at this very juncture, we are troubled. Hello? He says, you know, Jesus said, I can't afford to have you troubled because guess what? You are the guys. You are the ones supposed to clean up this mess. You're the one in charge to make things better. Can I say to you, Greenville, that life, sometimes, life is not fair. Sometimes. Yeah. See, it can find you in a situation, life can find you in a situation where you're strong. You all strong for the Lord. And you're doing his will, and all of a sudden, something happened, and you become weak. Somebody ought to help me with this one. I'm here to say that this is what happens. This is what happens. See, I want you to see this here real good, because making that conscious decision on life, because we know sometimes we make decisions and we don't even consult God. And we children of God. But we now, no, Lord, this is, no, I'll be back. But I need to do this here now, Lord. But I need to take care of this here. But I'll be back. Like God in heaven saying, let's make a deal. God is not in heaven saying, let's make a deal. God is in heaven saying, this is the deal. And so when I look at the psalmist, when I look at David, he made a conscious decision. You remember David in Psalms 1? The Bible said, blessed, well off, well spoken is the man who is careful, who is cautious, and who is conscious. Well, what are you trying to say? He's careful where he walk. He said, blessed is the man that walketh not He's careful to whom he walk around. He's cautious to whom he stand around. And he's conscious to who he sits around. He making a conscious decision to do what Jesus says. Jesus said, you believe in God? Believe also in me. Y'all still there? And notice. For you see here, I want you to see Peter. Brother Gibbs, you read that so well. In the very next minute, I want you to see, you know, people sometimes, Peter was impetuous. You know, but I got to give Peter an applaud. Even though he was familiar with the water, he came to walk out when Jesus was out there, took his eyes off Jesus, began to sink, sinking in familiar water, but yet he had enough nerve to get out. You got to see Jesus working with him. He's impetuous now. You got to see. Now watch this here real good. Here you find Peter trying to do something. And what is he trying to do is make a boast for himself. Yeah. Why can't I go now? I'm going to be the one to lay down my life for you. You remember that? Yeah. But when you think about it, isn't it so understanding of Jesus? Because Jesus was speaking directly to Peter. But you do you not know? Peter thought he had it all together. You remember Jesus told him, listen, Peter, in Luke 22:31 and 32, you remember what Jesus told Peter? He said, Simon, Simon, Satan is out to sift you. That's wheat. But then Jesus said, I prayed. I took cautious. I saw how necessary it was to pray for you. Even though it haven't even happened yet, it haven't come to fruition, I went on your behalf to somebody who can help your situation. I went to God and I prayed for you. My brothers and sisters, when you look at this here real good, you know, he was saying something. He said, but don't be troubled, Peter. He said, you know, you flunk the test. The trials is a test. But it's only a prelude to your promotion. Yes, God is trying to do something with you. Yes, and you know, when you think about it really good, Peter was boasting about something, and he publicly, flunked the test. Because you remember, they people saw him and said, yeah, that's one. And Peter said, no, you got the wrong person. I know who you talking, you saw somebody else, not me. Well, even though he flunked the test publicly, you remember when Resurrection Sunday came, how Jesus, he asked for his disciples and Peter. He said, bring my disciples and Peter. Even though he flunked the test, you know, Jesus was saying, you flunked the course, Peter, publicly, but he says, let not your heart be troubled. Yes, you messed up. And that's what he's trying to teach us. We're going to mess up. That's the lesson I believe we can learn right here in this one verse. Don't let it get you off course. That's what he was saying. He was saying, don't let your heart be troubled. Now, here is the thrust. Here is what he was saying. He was saying, you do believe in God, huh? Come on, y'all. Here is the point. You believe in God. You believe God still is in control, huh? You believe that the universe still set in the palm of his hands, huh? You do believe that, huh? You believe that God still has the power. Hello? Then he says, Here is the command. Here is the command. Watch the text. Believe also in me. Now here is what he's saying. He's saying, believe also in me. This present tense verb, where he says, keep on believing. It's present tense. Yes. That's the idea. Keep on believing in me, Jesus says. Now, why, Roy, is he's saying, keep on believing in me? Well, he's going away, y'all. He's about to leave. And how do we act when folks not there? They've been there all the while, but then they leave. You know how we can act sometimes, huh? Y'all talk back to me. You know how we can. Oh, yes. I was just kind of giving him an idea when I'm living at my grandmother, moving from Nashville to Louisiana, and everybody wanted to stay at Big Mama house. All of two of my uncles, two of my aunts with their husband. Like, Big Mama had a nice big house, but it wasn't that big. But everybody wanted to stay with Big Mama. And think about this here. As soon as Big Mama leaves, go on a little doctor appointment, all hell break out. They acting a fool in there. And I'm a young boy watching them argue about all kind of, it don't belong to them. It's Big Mama's. But they can't get along. And you remember the disciples the same way? You remember the relationship? Jesus had to mend that back. Yeah, when you go back to John 21, you'll see that. See, here it is. He was saying something to them. He's saying, you're going to mess up. You flunked the test. But don't let what happened mess you up where you can't think right, where you can't act like a disciple, where you can't be a Christian. Don't let what happened in this world, y'all, put water on your belief. Y'all see my point? Don't let it wipe you out. Jesus says, keep on believing. Keep on trusting. Keep on looking to me. Now, what is he saying? He's saying just what I said. You're going to mess up. And that's one of the lessons he's trying to teach in this first passage of scripture, is that even when you mess up, don't let it keep you down. Hello? Keep on believing. Why? Keep on believing because I told you I'm going to forgive you. Jesus said it that way. I'm not going to hold it against you. But what I need you to do when you fail, keep on believing in what I told you. Keep on looking to me. When it looks like everything has come to halt, he said, just remember, I'm still in control. I have this. I got it. And it's so interesting. People, you know, you say, Lord, I'm coming back. I'm coming back. I'm just leaving for a while. Don't take that chance, my brothers and sisters. And I tell people all the time, I'd rather have him and not need him than to need him and not have him. Don't take that chance. So when you look at this here real close, Jesus is saying, I know what it's like when people leave. I'm about to leave. But what you got to do is keep on believing. Greenville, that's the message this morning. See, when you think about it real good, I was telling the church earlier, you know, when you look at this world event that we are living surrounded by, and all of the stuff that's going on, it makes you feel sometimes, what is going on in this world? Am I right, y'all? Am I just by myself? But he simply says to us, you are my disciples, and you're gonna mess up. Something's gonna hit you so hard that you're gonna find yourself doing some stuff that you said you'll never do again. But don't let it stir you. Don't let it trouble you, terrasso. Don't let it trouble you to the point where you can't see right. Hello? Where you can't think right. And you know, Jesus, he want to carry us. And as Brother Gibbs, I honestly, truly believe, is when we're willing to trust him with everything, now he's ready to bring us through anything. I truly believe that. You know, I trust him as never before because I know him now as never before. Oh, yeah, I'm embracing what he says. He says, just keep believing. Just keep believing. Don't give up. Regardless of what's going on in your life, don't let what you see hinder what you believe. Your belief means everything to God. You can arrest the attention of God believing. Yes, you can. Truly, indeed, the Hebrew writer made it known in Hebrews 11:6, without faith, it's impossible to please God. One must come doing what? Believing. Believing. Remind me of David again. In my closing, David, he was one of them kind of guys I shared this morning that David experienced all kinds of trouble. Y'all remember them? All kinds. David didn't have to read a book on trouble because he experienced all kinds of trouble. He was one who experienced it all. He did some horrible things, but God knew his heart. He was a man after God's own. I tell you, it is always a matter of the heart. When you look at it real close, God wants your heart. Amen. He wants everything. Amen. He wants your heart. Yeah. When you can give him your heart, now you're pressing near toward who? See, I come to know God better. I come to know myself better. To come to know him. It's to come to know him through his word. He just revealed something to us. He says, let not your heart be troubled. Don't give up. Don't give up. Don't faint. David had that same idea. I was telling them in Psalm 27, when you look at the last two verses in Psalm 27, when the scripture said, I had fainted, you know, when you see it like that, italicized, always know that the translators put it like that in order to give us a sense of what the author, what the writer was really trying to say. You see how it italicized, I had fainted? Y'all see verse 13 of Psalm 27? Well, you know what David was really trying to say? You know what he was saying? He was saying, I would have given up. I would have lost heart. I would have quit, committed suicide. But notice that verse. He says, I had fainted unless I believe. You see that word believe again? Uh-huh. Unless I believe to see the goodness of God in the land of the living. Yeah. Yeah. He said, I would have thrown it all in. Lost heart. But the only thing that kept me from losing heart, the only thing that kept me from throwing it all in was the fact that I believed to see the goodness of God. David said, I honestly believe that God was going to do something in my life. I honestly believe that God was going to make some things work out in my life. God is looking for us to believe. We ought to be believing people. Truly indeed. One thing I know for sure, that God is one. He want to bless us. You know he want to bless us. I mean, here you serve a God who knows the end before the beginning. You don't think he know what's going on in your life? Yes. And the love demands a response. He loves you. He loves you with an infinite love that a God could love you with. So what you got to do is not be troubled when you mess up. Just keep believing. Keep moving for God. knowing that he gonna see me through all of this. But I gotta believe. I tell people all the time, believing is the easiest thing you can do. You know it. The cars you drive. Have you read that manual's owner? No. Believe. I don't care what kind it is. You believe you can drive that car. Probably can't even find the owner's manuals. Because you done got it out of the way. You believe you don't need it. Well, I'm hoping and praying that I encourage you with this message this morning. Because hearing God's word, faith comes by hearing his word. These are the words of Jesus relevant to us today. Thousands of years he wrote this, but yet, and we see it at funerals, we hear it at funerals. But when we really look at what prompted him to say that, he loves us. Even though we mess up, even though we flunk the test. Have you ever done something real bad that everybody found out about? And boy, it's not a secret. Peter did that. But yet Jesus said, call my disciples and call Peter. He had to be broken. He was impetuous. He spoke. You know, Peter just spoke out. That's why Jesus was saying, hush, hush, hush. Satan is out to sift you. Be careful. I prayed for you. And you know what? It haven't even come to fruition. This thing haven't even come. It haven't happened yet. But I prayed because Satan wants to sift you. But I got your back, Peter. I went to the one who can do something about this. I went to God on your behalf and prayed for you. My brothers and sisters, listen. Hearing the word of God. Faith comes by that. Yes. Believing is the easiest thing you can do. After you hear what God has to say. When God speak. Yeah. Yeah. I'm made by God for God. When he speak. In him we live, move, and have our every being. He's the manufacturer of my life. So I'm made by him for him. So when he speaks, I should follow. I should do as he say. What about you this morning? What about you? Believing is the easiest thing. Repenting is one of the hardest things. The change. The stop and turn. Some of us just don't want to stop. Don't want to stop. I mean, door that big, wide. Still bumping and running into the door because we don't want to stop. Repent. Luke 13:3. I tell you, they shall likewise perish. He said, if you don't repent, either turn or burn. Repent. Make it right. And I was telling them this morning, don't be like that little knucklehead boy who kept running the stop sign. He ran the stop sign and police told him, hey, son, you can't do it that way. He said, hey, listen. He said, officer, I stopped. Police said, no, you slowed down. You didn't stop for that stop sign. Waited on him the next day. He did the very same thing. Police said, son, what is wrong with you? He said, I told you, you need to stop for this stop sign. He said, there's a school here. The boy said, officer, I stopped. He said, no, you slowed down. He said, don't do it again. Do you not know he came back, do it again? The police grab him out of the car, begin to whip up on him, tell him, which one of them you want me to do, stop or slow down? Got to whipping him. Yeah. Repent. Make it right. Make it right. You don't want to get whipped by God. Make it right. And confess the sweetest name that ever dripped from mortal tongue. Confess his name. He's all of that. Present your past. Confess your present. To secure your future in baptism. What about you this morning? What about you? The message this morning is keep believing. Keep on believing. Don't stop believing. We can go some places with that. What about you? Come on, come on. What about you? We'll pray for you and we'll pray with you and pray for you. Come on, come on, as we gather stand. Come on.
Just as
take me as I am.
I am.